Our scripture reading this morning, firstly from the Hebrew Testament, from Psalm 124, and thereafter from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. And then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And then from Mark 4, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and me will not only hear the scripture, but that we will also, as we just sung, sense the presence of God's Spirit. May it speak to our hearts, and somehow may we receive something to take with us into the week. Looking at Mark 4 and a few weeks ago, couldn't help it, but my first thought was, wow, you've been preaching about this passage for more than 40 years. What is there that the people haven't heard? I personally don't like repetition, but yet I know, I remember distinctly as a child. Remember the sermons that I heard as a kid in our church. And I can truly say that I did not only grow up with the story, but I moved with the story throughout my life. And I remember as a child, I saw it from a different perspective than I do now, because at that time, the story always filled me with awe and left me with only one message. In my mind, the entire story had only to do with how powerful and strong Jesus was, that he could perform this type of miracle and nothing more. But that understanding was indeed a bit childish. Was also a bit wrong. But I just had to come to that understanding through many, many years, several decades after that. Because you see, we do live in different times and with different understandings. Our faith is 2,000 years old, but our thinking is not. And due to enormous advances in human technology, today we are able to spot hurricanes and fierce storms while they are still churning in the ocean several days away. And as we heard earlier during this service, we can prepare ourselves a little bit and we can make plans and we can form ideas. How shall we respond? So my modern mind says when reading Mark 4, whoa, am I glad that I didn't live 2,000 years ago. Because for those poor people, the big storms still came unexpectedly. Before they knew it, it was over them. And that's about it. And I wondered now, how come that so many changes took place in my own way of thinking? I can at least say I was faithful and sincere in searching and studying. Went on for decades. And then I discovered the problem. You see, when I was a child, I was taught to believe every story in the Bible in the literal sense. And that was it. Literally so. And if I couldn't deal with that, well, that was my problem. And it's only when thinking along these lines that I discovered that indeed, in my earlier years, I missed the boat. And many opportunities went by. You see, in the story, when the disciples finally decided to wake Jesus up, they were already in a state of near panic. How could he be so calm? Naturally, as most people would do, their first thoughts were, well, I know why he's sleeping. He doesn't really care for me. He doesn't really care for my safety. At least that's what the Bible says. That's what their response was. But today we do understand a little bit better. And I believe that Jesus was busy there teaching them an object lesson. Something very important that they had to realize at an early stage. Oh yes, they needed to be schooled in understanding how to deal with fear and panic. Because soon afterwards, they were to be confronted with far bigger fears and sorrows. Something was looming, and they did not realize it. So I will be forgiven if I say that I get the impression that Jesus was already preparing them for the bigger storms that were laying ahead for them. Because you see, the timeline says that soon they would be underway to Jerusalem, where the shadow of the cross was already looming. Now, as Americans, we know from our history, we've been taught that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, I guess that day in the boat with Jesus was how and when they learned that most important lesson. You know why climbers, mountain climbers, making their way up steep and treacherous mountains, you know why they sometimes tie themselves together with rope? Well, I've heard that they joke amongst themselves to say that is to keep the sensible ones from going home. During a thunderstorm, a frightened little boy jumped into bed between his mother and father and said, "You know what, Mom, Dad? I wouldn't be scared of the thunder if I could only keep my mind off my thoughts." The teachers asked, "Teacher, Do you not care that we are perishing? That's what the disciples, the followers of Jesus, wanted to know. Don't you care about us? Why are you allowing all this to happen? That sounds a bit familiar. Many of us have asked the same question at some time in our lives, maybe several times in our lives. So often you and I are still encountering personal storms on life's heavy seas. Storms are raging in many lives. And I know what I'm talking about, because I'm so privileged and honored to be a pastor to many of you. And you know what we've shared between four walls. You know what we prayed for. You know what we wrestled with. Just believe me when I say that storms are raging in the lives of many people with us in church today. I do know what I'm talking about. So I may as well ask, what is your greatest fear in life, and why are you afraid? Well, and then my mind just wandered, and I thought, well, it could be concerns about finances during these difficult times. And I can tell you, I never talk about politics, but I'm sick and tired of all politicians using every speech they make to tell people how difficult and how hard life is and how terrible their sorrows are. And if you vote for me, I'm going to wave a little wand and all will be different. Oh yeah, we've heard that. We grew up with that. What is your greatest fear? Concerns about finances? Gas prices? Oh yes, friends, we are. If you're not, you're very, very fortunate that it says that you have enough put away. But there are people in our midst and in our church and our environment who are concerned about the terrible things that's happening in our finances. And if you really want to this message to be driven home, you should visit another country like we did a few weeks ago, and then you'll discover how little your dollar can really buy in the outside world. These fears, I believe, are legitimate. But it could be more than that. It could be a lingering illness. Remember last Monday, I was with family in our church, and our brother had to go in for a quadruple bypass, and we spent a lot of time together, and we prayed together, and that concern became my very own, and became a difficult week. Good news is that Bill is doing better. He's off the bed. He's walking. Last Sunday he was still sitting there where Bill Geiger is sitting right now. He and his wife. Whew. Is he the only one? Ask Sandra. She will tell you what's in her mind. And we can go on and on. That's us, folks. Many is concerned about being alone, because the loneliness is coupled with grief. And out of that, there's some despair and for some even depression. And then thinking about all the reasons why people are fearing to be in the boat, I realized it could be suffering because of personal failures, not having lived up to the standards that we have set for ourselves. So many people Maybe all of us are sometimes still thinking about the times of our youth. And sometimes I think when I went for all these interviews that you do before you become a minister of a church, thank God they didn't know me when I was 17. You have to grow up. You have to move through pain sometimes in your life to become mature. So there are many people who never dealt with sin, with loneliness, with emptiness in their lives. And now time has marched on, and now they are faced with a sense, have I lived my life in vain? What was it all about? And somewhere, somehow, their self-esteem and their self-respect were fractured, and the winds are howling over their heads. And the terrible part for many people, not only for the disciples 2,000 years ago, the terrible part is that the Master seems to be asleep. Why doesn't God intervene? We ask. Why not? We cry out in distress like the disciples did. Folks, and this is not an easy question. If it is for you, it is not for me. Where is God in my distress? Where was God when I yelled out in the darkest of the night, God, do you not care that I am perishing? Where are you? It made me wonder, do my concerns and my heartaches, do they really matter somehow for someone up there? That's a question. Is there anyone who sees and understands? Teacher, do you not care that we perish? Does God really care, or has God fallen asleep in the stern of our boats? Oh, how many of us need to hear the same reassuring voice that the followers of Jesus heard amidst the storm that they were in. Peace, be still and fear no more. And I am arrogant enough to believe that it is not the winds that changed in that moment, but it was what was living in the hearts of God's people that changed. Peace, be still, fear no more. Hear then once again, or for the first time, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God cares deeply. When the storms of life are raging, our God cares. When it seems you cannot hold on a moment longer, our God cares. When the waters threaten to engulf, our God cares. That is the backbone of the Christian message. Ours is a caring God. The message of this passage lies in the questions that Jesus asked from his followers. That was the error I made. I was literally believing one thing, and I missed the truth of the entire passage. And if you look at what people who expose Scripture say, then they draw the attention that the question that Jesus asked at the end is the crux, is the solution, is his response to the question, do you care? What did he say? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? That's the reason for the story. The central question in our faith life is not how many storms we must pass through. Friends, it is not even about how fierce the storm is. The question is whether we have faith and conviction that can help us weather every storm that comes our way throughout our lives. And now I am going to say something that all of you already believe, but some may not like me saying so. We all know that bad things happen to all people, good or bad. And if you think that your faith is and should be a magic wand that you can just wave, and that will safeguard some people from raging storms and others not, then you have another think coming. God simply never divides the world into two groups. That group, they ask me, I'll click my fingers, they won't die, they will get healthy, they will get well, and the others, not looking their way. That is not the message of Scripture. That is not the message of our God. The storms will come and you are not going to avoid them. You may land in the storm and your boat may even sink. That is the gospel. That is the message. Because God says to us through Jesus Christ, and I will be there with you. And when you walk through your darkest valley, yeah, when you breathe your last, lo and behold, I am with you, not till the end of your life. I am with you till the end of time. There's a difference. When the storms rage, we know in faith that the Master is on board. And because we are part of God's people, we can say, oh, I'm standing on a rock. And although I'm trembling on the rock won't tremble under me. And when we know the worst has happened, we're going to die? Do we yell, there can't be a God, there can't be a God, I'm going to die? Oh no. Oh no, then we sing, abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. And even as we drift away, God says, and if you walk through the darkest valley, I am by your side. He doesn't take you around the valley. He takes you through it. Do you believe in a God who loves you and has promised never to forsake you and be with you even in the darkest valley and the fiercest storm? Do you believe that however dark the clouds may be, behind those clouds the sun still shines? And do you believe that beyond every cross on Calvary, there is a living Christ? Well, friend, countless millions do and succeeded to live triumphantly through every storm in their lives. What our God is doing for others, He can and He will do for us. We can reach out in faith and trust in God this very day. And if you do, you can leave your deepest fear right here in the pew this morning. And you can walk out here liberated with a new knowledge, with a new understanding. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. I think the most crucial question is this. Do you have faith that you can call your own? Some people lean on the faith of other people. And the moment when crisis comes, they say, bring me someone who can pray for me. Get somebody quickly. And please don't stop doing that because I'll be out of a job. But just know that you have the connection. You are never alone. Never, never alone. The truth is that God is in your little boat after all. And that's why I'm saying you cannot rely on the faith of others. Let me tell you something about God. God has billions of children, but not one single grandchild. You cannot inherit your God and your faith from your parents. They can teach you, they can bring you, they can help you, they can do everything for you. But there need to come a moment in everyone's life when I say, now, I claim what is rightfully mine. You are my God. You cannot inherit or work through the faith of anyone else. It's a personal thing. It calls for a personal decision. Lord, I will trust and follow you. I will triumph over my fear and uncertainty from this day on. I so much love that little slogan that they ascribe to the fisher folk of Brittany. Keep me, O God, your sea is so great, and my boat is so small. Maybe as we so pray, we could add and thank you that I discovered you in my boat and not in the storm. God is in my boat after all. That is the voice of the gospel. That is when God says to his suffering child, peace, be still, and see, I am with you, not till the end of your life. I am with you till the end of time. Amen.